the message out, ring it out. Amen.
Truly, we have been blessed again to be here on tonight. I am still relishing in the message from this morning. We've been challenged with meekness, and we appreciate so much Brother Gibbs and that challenge from the Word of God. And I know, like the some of you who have been here, you some may remember the song, "This Is My Story, This Is My Song." And some of us have been praising our Savior all day long. And it's good to praise God all day. But I recognize that it takes a lot of energy to praise Him all day long. And I think the ladies have something they're doing even after tonight, praising Him all day long. And there's no other place I would rather be than in the house of God. And so good to see all who are here on tonight. Let us look tonight from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at verses 13 through verse number 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I felt like singing a song before I preached, but I'm not going to do it. But I've looked at this text, and I noticed that when Jesus asked this question, the disciples replied and said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And I wanted to use that reply as our subject on tonight. Entitle this, "Some Say." Jesus is assembled with his disciples at the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And Caesarea Philippi is an interesting city because it is named to honor Augustus Caesar. And the name Philippi was added to distinguish it from another Caesarea near the Mediterranean coast. But at Caesarea Philippi, was a temple erected by Herod the Great in homage to Augustus Caesar, who at that time was considered the most powerful ruler. But this city was also steeped in idolatry. They worshiped Baal, and there was a god, Pan, that was worshiped there, and even Caesar himself was worshiped in that temple. And Jesus used this occasion at this place, at this time, to ask a very important question. And I don't think it was accidental that Jesus chose Caesarea Philippi to ask these men, what are people saying about me? And to get the great confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the city where they worship idol gods, it would be acknowledged that the Son of the living God is actually here. And Jesus knew that there was some speculation and assumptions looming about his identity, so he wanted to know, what are the people saying about me? And I just believe that even today, there is speculation, assumption, skeptics who really don't understand who Jesus really is. And yet even more disturbing is that even disciples of Christ are having trouble navigating through the some say of men and not fully grasping the identity of Christ and the implications of his identity as it relates to us really being true disciples of his. And so I want tonight to consider some of the opinions of men versus the revelation of God. When the disciples answered Jesus' question, they brought to him what the word on the street was. They started with the popular opinions. They revealed the some say of that day. And one of the opinions was that Jesus was John the Baptist. And there were those after seeing the miraculous power of Jesus, thought that he was John the Baptist. When you look at Matthew chapter 14 and verses number 1 and 2, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Herod, who had John the Baptist beheaded, now when he hears about the fame of Jesus, thinks that John the Baptist has come back from the dead. And so there was a rumor mill that perhaps Jesus was John the Baptist. But if you ask John the Baptist about Jesus, John would tell you something different. He would tell you that one is coming whose shoes I'm not even worthy to lace and untie. In John chapter 1 and verse number 26, he says, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet that I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now you got to understand that John is saying, Here is a man that's coming after me, who was before me. Well, John, how could this man be coming after you who was at the same time before you? Well, I'm telling you that this is the Lamb of God. I am not even worthy to reach down and untie his shoelaces because even before I was, he was. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it mixed up. Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. Oh, I didn't mean to get so happy right there, but when he said, This is he who was before me, John recognized that Jesus was greater than even himself. And we need to recognize from the popular opinions that Jesus is greater than any man. And some were saying that another opinion was that he was Elias or Elijah. Others were saying that perhaps this man was Elijah. They looked at his lifestyle, and when they heard his message, they probably recalled Malachi's prophecy. Malachi 4 and verse number 5, when it said, Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great, dreadful day of the Lord. When we look down the stream of prophecy, we find in Luke that actually John was the one who represented Elijah. And so since John was the one who represented Elijah, this has to be the Lord himself. So then there were others who were saying that this was Jeremiah's. And Jeremiah we know as the weeping prophet because he wept over the sins of his people. Jesus, we know, was a man of compassion. Jesus, the Bible says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because the people fainted and were scattered abroad like a sheep with no shepherd. Isaiah would prophesy that Jesus, the suffering servant, was a man of sorrow and he was acquainted with grief. But I want you to know that Jeremiah, although he wept for the people, he could not do anything for the people. When Jesus, although he was moved with compassion for the people, he is the Lamb of God who would lay down his life for the people. Jeremiah might weep over them, but Jesus can redeem them. So I know he has to be greater than Jeremiah. Then there were others who just couldn't put a name with a face. And they just concluded that he has to just be one of the prophets. His works were commensurate with a prophet. His words were as potent as one of the prophets. But they just couldn't wrap their understanding around who he was. But they just categorized him because of his work and his words. Then he just has to be one of the prophets. But I want you to know that he is greater than all the prophets. He is the fulfillment of the prophets. He is the one whom all the prophets look to and whom all of the Bible points to. He says, I am greater than all of the prophets. And I just want us to know that When we read through the some say, when we look at what people are saying, even today, there are many who read about Jesus. They hear about Jesus. And they talk about Jesus. They teach about Jesus. They draw conclusions about Jesus. But some of their conclusions are inconsistent with what the Word of God says about Jesus. You cannot identify Christ by the opinions of people, because in our modern day society, in our intellectual, pseudo-intellectual theology, some have drawn some conclusions about Jesus that are inconsistent with the scriptures. And let me just give you some of the some say of our day. Some say Jesus was just a good man and a good teacher. But you don't have to take all of what he says seriously. Some say Jesus was just like any other man and sinned, and he was not perfect. You got even some of the Hollywood industry that makes motion pictures to depict the to depict Jesus being imperfect. Some say Jesus was tolerant of other religions. Some say that Jesus was not judgmental. Some are saying that Jesus was not confrontational. This is the some say of our day. But if we get to the realm, out of the realm of the hypothetical and the philosophical, after Jesus heard the some say, he said, well, I'm going to take a direct and confrontational route and ask, but whom do you say that I am? See, they had to go back in the Rolodex of their minds and recall all that Jesus had done. You have seen me give sight to the blind. Who do you say that I am? You heard me speak to the winds and to the waves. Whom do you say that I am? Saw me walking on water. And Peter, you even asked to come out there and walk with me. Whom do you say that I am? You served 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish and picked up more than what you started with. Whom do you say that I am? You served 4,000 men with 7 loaves of bread and brought back 7 basketful. Whom do you say that I am? And that's the question I think that we all have to ask is, what does the Bible say about me after all that you've seen? Peter couldn't hide it after taking in all that knowledge. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter recognized him as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one whom it was prophesied by Isaiah that would come in the flesh. He is talking about the Son of David, the one who would be anointed to be the ultimate king over all of Israel. But then he also recognized him as the Son of the living God. He's in idolatrous Caesarea Philippi, where they serve idol gods. But he's saying there's a greater God than all of these idol gods. The Son of the living God is here. And he's here with more power than all of the political power of Rome and all of the power of Caesar. A greater is here, and it's Jesus Christ. And when Simon made that confession, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee." You didn't get this from your mama. You didn't get this from your father. You didn't get this from a test of, but what you got is from direct revelation from God. After you saw all that I did, you had to conclude that this is the one whom God said he would send. He is blessed because of the knowledge of the truth that he confessed. He's blessed because of the source from which the truth came. So he recognized that his understanding and his learning of Jesus had been divinely revealed. And I'm telling you that the only way you're going to conquer what the some say of today is with divine revelation. See, I know that some say that he was just a good teacher and a good man, but we don't have to do all that he says. Well, you got to look for some revelation. And when you look at revelation, you understand that Jesus said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Jesus said, "He that rejected me and receive not my word, hath one who judges him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Jesus wants you to know that I know what some say, but you better listen to what I say. And what I say is that my word will judge you in the last day. So take my word seriously. Some say that Jesus was sin. And you may have seen the movie Last Temptation of Christ. But I want you to know that divine revelation says that God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21. And then Peter said, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Peter said, who he knew no sin. Paul rather said he knew no sin. Peter said he did no sin. He didn't know sin and he didn't do sin. So sin could not be in his character because he neither knew it nor did he do it. Some say that Jesus was tolerant of other religions. Well, I got the news for you. That just ain't true. And I know that's not good English, but it just, I wanted to make good sense. That ain't true. In John chapter 4 and verse number 22, you remember that Jesus met a woman at the well. And that woman at the well talked about her worship experience. And Jesus says, "Ye worship what you don't even know." In other words, what you're doing, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even understand that what you're worshiping is not in line with God's commands. But then I'll give you another one. Jesus told those Pharisees that they had fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy in Matthew 15, in verse number 8 and 9, when he says, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me." teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, if my worship is in vain, is not in keeping with God's will, it is then unacceptable to God. Jesus was not tolerant of other religions. And then some will say that Jesus was not judgmental. But I just got to tell you something, that Jesus condemned some folk. In John 8 and verse number 44, you remember those Jews who were there? Jesus said, you just like your daddy. Said you're just like your father, the devil. The lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speak a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And Jesus condemned those folk and told them that they were just like their father, the devil. And I know you don't like to do that. Jesus told them, except you repent, you are also going to likewise perish. In Luke 13 and verse number 3, Jesus condemned some folk. Some say that Jesus wasn't confrontational. Jesus looked at those Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and told them all that you were whitewashed sepulchres, and told them all, denounced them in front of, oh my goodness, Matthew chapter 23. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe that, observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. In other words, in front of everybody, he told them, don't be like them, because they talking loud and saying nothing. They're not walking the walk, but they got a good talk. Don't be like them. And then even in our text, Matthew 16 and verse number 23, you remember that it was Peter that Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it to thee. But he turned right around to the same Peter that he blessed and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, you just blessed him, Lord, but now he's interfering with my purpose. Get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God. Now, he made the confession, and then Jesus confronted him and said, you are, get behind me, Satan. Now, here's what I want us to look at. All of these qualities of Jesus, and then we plan to be disciples of Christ who follow in the example that Jesus set. We are challenged to be what Christ was. It was hard this morning to hear about us being meek. It was hard for us to hear about us mourning over ourselves. It's hard for us to empty ourselves and to be poor in spirit. And it's even more difficult for us to pick up the qualities that Jesus possessed. It gets difficult when you have to confront somebody and tell them you're wrong. People will crucify you. It's not a coincidence that after Peter made that confession, Jesus charged them. I'm not even going to deal with the church. Jesus charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And in verse number 21, he said, from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders
and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. When we look at this idea of discipleship, I know it's cute to say that I am a disciple. It looks good for us to claim to be disciples, but it's hard to be a disciple. It's not coincidental that once he made that confession, he began talking about crucifixion. See, when you have this kind of claim and commitment, it may cause you to be crucified. To be a disciple of Christ is a consent to crucifixion. Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse number 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Crosses are carried in order that crucifixions take place. You don't carry a cross just for the fun of it. You carry a cross to be crucified on it. Jesus would tell them, when you become my disciple, what you are doing is signing a permission slip for persecution. When you become my disciple, you are giving up everything. They weren't going to crucify Christ because he fed them with food and because he healed the sick and because he clothed the naked and because he showed compassion and love. They were not going to crucify him for that. The reason they crucified him, because when Jesus came into the temple and saw them making God's house a mockery, he cleaned them all out. It was because of the boldness and his doctrine that they crucified him. And we want to be disciples. We struggle with confrontation. We struggle with persecution. We struggle when we have to tell somebody and show somebody that is not the way of Jesus Christ. We struggle every time you look at one of your members' Facebook pages and you see them come on here, see pictures of them with cups that ain't filled with water and iced tea. And they just, no shame in their game. And I'm telling you, I struggle. And I just go on there and look and see what y'all doing. I know that's what you do with me, too. You say, what? See, it's hard to say, brother, you really need to take that down. How you gonna be up in front of the Lord's people preaching? You post it. You sell. No shame. And that's what that idea of mourning over ourselves. I mean, it's challenging that these ambiguous out-of-town I can. But you with a different person every time we see you. Can we keep it real? See, that's what we're called to do as disciples. It's challenging when someone's religious beliefs and convictions, and you have to tell them, that's not what Jesus was about. That's not what Jesus taught. And we have to be willing to put our necks on the line. We want to be a disciple just as long as it's comfortable and cute. We got a cute shirt. But I don't know any of the apostles except one who died of natural causes. And that was John on the Isle of Patmos. Most of them were killed for the cause of Christ. I know I shouldn't end like that, but we got to really think about this. This is going to be a challenging year.
I've been challenged already by just looking at the Beatitudes. And when you really think about Jesus and being his disciple, you remember Peter and James, James and John wanted to be at the right hand and on the left hand. And Jesus said, are you able to be baptized? You're looking for a prominent position. Really, what you got to understand is you don't have to die because of your association with me. What are we willing to give up? Who are you willing to let go? What are you willing to give up in order that we can be disciples? Not based on some say, but based on what God says. You're here tonight. We really need to contemplate what it means to be a disciple. And I've been thinking about it, and I've been challenged by it. So don't defriend me. But just know, as children of God, that we need to make sure that we are helping one another to be the disciples that God would have us to be. So we really need to think about this call to discipleship. We got to count the cost of it. And it costs a lot. And don't base your discipleship off of what some are saying. Look at what God is saying and commit to what is revealed in his word. If you want to be a child of God, you want to be a disciple of Christ, you got to be willing to take him as your Lord. That means he must rule. That means he must have first priority. That means before you make a move, you consult with the Lord. He is a good master. He's tenderhearted. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any of us should perish, but that we all should come to repentance. You want to be a child of God? Come and have faith in his son, Jesus Christ.
Be willing to change your life and change what's been directing your life and allow him to be the Lord of your life. That means you have a change of mind. That is called repentance. And then confess what you believe, that's Jesus to be the Christ, just like Peter confessed him. And you know what the Bible says? That he was blessed. And you will be blessed when you make that great confession. Not by men, but God will take care of you. Then be buried in the watery grave of baptism. For the remission of sins, you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you're here, you are a disciple of Christ who haven't lived up to the commitment. And we've all need to make some recommitments. But you need some prayer in areas where you're weak. We'll pray for you tonight. As we stand and as we sing the song of invitation, will you come?
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. My heart is weary, please help me, dear Lord. For I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul and revive the fire, Lord, deep in my soul. Stir my desire to work in your force. Just lighten my heart, you God, your zeal grown cold, renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul and renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored. For my cup is empty, refilled it, dear Lord, just replace all doubts and fears with faith so bold. Renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul, renew my love, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul, all my trust, all my cares, for I can tell them to my Lord and heal my burdens bear through the pain and the strain. Only Jesus through all my trials.